Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's Malls. I have a fun guest on today that you probably know. Oh, it's episode 140, by the way. I have a fun guest on today that you probably know if you listen to Emotionally Broken Psychos, because your name is at the end of every single episode. You guys, it's my fabulous editor. What do we call you? Producer, engineer, Sammy Junio. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's so cute because I asked you to be on yesterday and... You thought I was asking you to come record it, and you were still totally down.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
But that's so sweet. And also...
I have a little producer jealousy going on.
You do?
Okay. I have to keep myself
Well, Christina, you can't do all the pods.
I know.
I mean, if you could... I mean, it would be a different situation, but it's a lot.
Like, I felt like that when Steven was here, too.
And you felt a little jealous. And Sammy's about to start doing Mother May I Sleep a podcast because Steven's leaving me to go be a big timer on the other side of the world. So he's going to Australia with my favorite murder. So
when he's back, we can all just wrestle in jello to see who can actually do
that. I mean, that would be great for me.
Kill each other.
I know. To the death. Fight to the death to edit my podcast. Can you imagine three people fighting to the death to have to listen to my voice?
Die.
I know, right? I'm like, why would you sign up for that?
Especially just swallowing all the jello.
Whole 30 be damned.
Okay. Is that I feel like jello should be on Whole 30.
It has sugar in it, Molly.
Sugar free gel. Oh.
But it has like a sugar additive.
Oh.
Like it's, I can't have any added sugar.
Oh, I feel like that's like a diabetic person's snack. They love sugar-free jello.
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not wise. I mean, it's the same reason why like the replacement sugar in Diet Coke is actually worse for you than mm-hmm. actual Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I enjoy lately just regular Coke. I'm not fucking with DC anymore. DC sent me on a real bad journey. Just Diet Coke.
What journey did it? No, I'm.
I was just drinking six a day. Oh. And I was just like, first of all, like, so I had to lose a bunch of weight to fit into my prom dress. And the only like main thing I did was I just quit Diet Coke and I lost 14 pounds in 2 weeks. Jeez. So it's like it puts weight on you. So there's that. But also, I don't think I had my digestive system was working well at all in high school.
Yeah, it's because in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the fake sugar really has some really weird side effects.
It's pretty bad for you. So, Sammy,
hi.
Thank you for being here today.
Thanks
we've
for
never
the invitation.
Actually we've never hung out in real life, which is weird because I talk to you pretty much every day.
Yeah, the last time we saw one another was the first time we met when you recorded an episode of Miranda Berman. Shout out.
Hey girl.
High school with Miranda Berman episode.
You didn't come to my birthday party?
You invited me to a Christmas party.
Oh.
But I think I ended up being out of town, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you were also invited to my birthday. I'm just telling you. I invited literally everyone. You weren't... Oh my God. Well, if I forgot you, I don't know how I did, because I literally just like pressed every letter of the alphabet on my keyboard and just like added anyone under, like, I was like, okay, all the A's are added. Oh, okay, I all the B's special. Are added. I mean, Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline was there. I had a, I cast kind of a wide net. I cast a very wide net.
Yeah.
All that said, tell me what's up with you, girl. What are you working on right now?
Oh, just a bunch of stuff. I'm towing the line of quitting my 9 to 5 to do like podcast stuff and like comedy show producing full time, which
nice.
Is horrifying. So I'm just like having a panic attack every day about that.
What yeah. comedy shows are you producing?
Right now, it's just historical roast and fictional roast over at Nerd Melt. And then, yeah, that's it for now.
That's something you guys can do if you come into town. Go to one of those shows.
Yeah, they're really fun. We have one next week, so whenever this is coming out.
Do you, like, roast historical figures?
Yeah, so we get we get a team of people, and we trick one comedian to dress up as a historical figure and another comedian to dress up as someone that's, like, related to that person.
Okay.
And then the rest of the cast is just comedians roasting as themselves. So it's actually ridiculous.
That's how have you consistently tricked people to dress up as historical figures?
I am consistently surprised, actually. We've been doing it for 2.5 or 3 years now, and it's been wild. Like,
that is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, also that just goes to show you how little people pay attention to things in this world. Like, guys, whenever I say don't take things personally, literally for 3 years, Sammy has been convincing people to show up in historical costumes to do a show, and not one of them has caught on. Like, that's not one of them has caught on
to what?
To the fact that when you're like, hey, dress like Martha Washington, like, none of them are like,
oh no, they get really stoked about it.
Oh,
like,
my God,
they're jazzed. Hilarious.
Well, so what do you tell them the show is?
Well, we tell them that it's just like a regular roast, except someone is going to be dressed up as the historical figure.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be the historical figure?
Okay yeah. That's awesome. And okay. Did you bring 3 reasons today why you're qualified to give advice?
Yes. And yes and no. Because I've been like battling with the answers that I was going to give you. And then when I was scootering over here, I was like trying to think of like which one to do. And I panicked and now I'm blanking. I'm just kidding. Yes, I have 3.
Driving a scooter in LA is like is one of them.
Yeah.
In my mind. Like,
so
I'm going to give you a 4th one if you don't. I mean, like, literally, you really are. Also, like, do you have a death wish? Like, that's
do,
my
yeah.
big question for you.
I actually am an adrenaline junkie. So,
yeah.
But, like, I'm also a wuss. So a scooter right. is, like, the most dangerous thing.
Are you, like, I could go at any time person like me? Like, it's just, like, if I die, big whoop.
Yes, but I also like really worry about my mom dealing with me dying before she does. So I
yeah.
try not to die before she
does. I think Shauna would figure it out. I think my mom would like skate on. You know what I mean? I think she'd be upset for a while, but I think ultimately like she has a great, you know, skill for self-preservation. So she'd be fine, I guess. I don't know. Okay, your 3 reasons, please.
Okay, my first reason is I'm queer in the bisexual sense, so I have experience.
Oh, same.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
We're doing it. We're doing them
doing
all.
A lot of things.
Hey.
You're doing it.
So I have experience with, romantic experience with both genders. I'm capable of hanging mounting a TV on the wall with
That's
little
gigantic.
To no direction. So I feel like you always have to trust somebody who's a little bit more handy than you.
Yeah.
I am also handy.
See? And
yeah.
look, you're pushing the buttons of the podcast.
Yeah.
I like fixing things.
Number 3.
I'm also a person of color, so if you don't take my advice, then you're committing a hate crime.
POC's in the house, guys.
How does it feel to be the minority in the room, Molly?
I actually am more comfortable this way. but... Okay, wait. So I have a question for you. When I was in Austin, I was hanging out with this group of people, and like 3 of the guys that we were with were openly bisexual. And it was like very interesting because it was unassuming. Like they didn't present in a way that you were like, well, like Aaron Carter, for example, where
sure.
it wasn't a huge surprise, for
Shouts
example.
Shout out to Aaron Carter. Good
Shout,
job, buddy.
Proud of you, dude. Like,
yeah,
did you hear he cried his eyes out at a nightclub? I'm so sorry.
But there was like so much.
About that.
I have to. I'm sorry. It's like so terrible to laugh, but just singing
buddy.
About him. Like, I know. Like, what a rough road he's had. I mean, he has not had an easy life.
Not since he's beat Shaq. I know. It's been really hard for him.
I work in a music licensing office, and a couple of months ago, we received this like mysterious box, and each person in the office received a heart-shaped thing of candy and a burn CD of Aaron Carter's song.
That is so funny.
And, like, if you, they're,
oh yeah, they always try to do crazy shit sometimes to like get your attention.
I know, it's so funny. The price tag of the candy was Best Buy, so it's just like, oh, it was a one-stop shop for them to just like send out their
That's
promotional
amazing.
Material. Is out of control.
I love that. You gotta have an Aaron Carter CD. Why not? I have my AC doll up there. But anyway, my point is that I got into a conversation with one of the guys. We were talking about his bisexuality, which he like also wanted to be a topic of discussion. Like I could tell he wanted to talk about it more. And basically he was saying like with guys, it's never really a problem. He's like, except like, he's like some gay guys think I'm dabbling in both pools and they get defensive about that. He's like, but girls are my biggest issue. He's like, girls are so rough about it. And he was like, what do you think that is? And I was like, I think girls are disgusted by dicks. And I was like, and they're just picturing you interacting. And he's like, it's the dicks, right? It's the, and I was like, and he's, but I don't, I like, it's such an unfortunate thing because why do straight girls not like dicks? Wouldn't you, as
I don't know. I mean, I get really angry about this situation because I've had girlfriends who have said around me, like, I would never date a bisexual guy.
Oh, I used to feel that way.
And like, expect me not to have feelings about that. And right. Expect me not to feel, or, you know, vice versa. I've had people who I have had friends say that like they only would date white people and like other white people, you know, and it's like I'm not supposed to feel a way about it, but sure, okay.
Explicitly say, or do they say I'm only
I'm not attracted to anyone but white people. And it's like if you change like attracted out of a sexual sense and like I only want to be friends with other white people, like it's still fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty like, fucked up.
But the other thing is, like, I always come from a place of, like, when someone is uncomfortable with the thought of two men being together and being anyone near there, you have some deep-seated homophobia that you're not dealing with.
Yeah.
And you need to come to terms with that.
I mean, I definitely will say that, like, for many years I felt that way, that I felt different. I mean, I have dated a bisexual guy, actually. But, like, we were in a relationship by the time I found out that he was bisexual. And he actually told Ed before he told me. Which, now looking back, I'm like, that was a little fucked up. But,
Sammy, what do you think?
About the guy not telling you first.
Telling my best friend at a party before he told him, and we were already dating.
I meant bisexual guys, like, the women not handling bisexual guys.
Yeah.
There's also just like this weird thing of like, I don't think people just generally don't really like bisexual people in general. Like I've been like kind of, I've been looking at a lot of like lesbians who are saying they're not biphobic. And I was just like, no, you clearly are.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. But, he was probably, maybe your bisexual boyfriend was just telling Ed because he was scared that you were one of the people that
would judge.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was coming on to Ed.
Oh, that probably. Who knows?
I mean, we weren't really in a relationship. But, yeah, no, it's like, I just was wondering about that because it was such an, it was, first of all, it was so nice to have a frank conversation about it where he would like had a sense of humor about it. And like, he was just like, yeah, he's like, I don't know why. He's like, girls are just so fucking weird about it. And he's like, and it's just not a big deal to me. And I was like, no, I think that's like really important. I think that's also really important why you are so vocal about this and like literally talking to a straight girl at a club right now and like taking time out of your day to be like, I want to have a discourse with you about my sex life. Like, I was like, first of all, like, I'm just like thankful that you're having this conversation with me. And secondly, I'm
it's
like,
it's good that he was in that mental space to be able to do that.
Totally.
Because it's like, I know, like, it's expect to have, like, oh, understanding and come from a place of, like, compassion. And, like, that can be hard a lot when the world shuts you down.
Mm-hmm.
And to expect people who are oppressed to just be that way all the time is really unfair.
Yeah.
It's putting, like, a mental strength, like, an insurmountable mental strength on people who, on a daily basis, have to deal with so much.
Well, it used to be, like, commonplace to just be, like, bi isn't real, like you just want it all, you're selfish, like I mean that used
or you're
to
really
be
gay,
like, yeah, that used to be like so commonplace that like I really say to people all the time, like if you lived in the world we lived in 10 years ago for like 2 days, you would be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, right. Progress, and I think mostly because of the internet, has sped up so quickly. But I also think that, like, this is the year of my life that more people I know have come out openly as bi than any other year of my life. I think that this is where we are. And, like, the finally the conversation has penetrated that it's, like, as important, if not more important, to come out as bi than it is to come out, period, you know?
Yeah, true.
Because the representation is needed. Everyone understands the concept of gay now. Bisexuality is something that people don't, a lot of people don't understand. There's still people who are like, it's not real. You just want it all, baby.
Which is true. I want it all.
That.
I want
nothing wrong with
puss
that.
Puss and bean, all of them.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
But if you're in a committed relationship, it's not like, damn, I miss that bean. I don't know.
I mean, no, it's not like that. I am in a very committed relationship right now, and I'm not like, damn, I wish I was.
Because that's the fear, right? Yeah. It's like, they're like, oh, I can't give you something that you need. And it's like, I don't need them both all the time.
Yeah. It's like, no, bro, you have all that I need. That's fine. That's why we're dating.
It does seem that way, though. Like, it's like in marriages, there's more bisexual women that are married than men. Like, there's more, that's just more commonplace.
It could be that they don't want to come out.
Yeah, I feel like that's the conversation I hear more, is like, my wife is sometimes into women, and like, I'm okay with that. But like, it's not, it's very rarely heard the other way.
Well, because, I mean, in general, I think like women being, or straight women or bisexual women, are more approved of because it's like a fetish a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the other way around, like a bisexual man is probably more scared to come out as one because it's not like a cool thing yet.
Yeah.
And like, women have,
well, now
more
that Aaron Carter did it.
Women have more space to explore that side of sexuality. They have more, it's like socially acceptable.
Yeah.
But for men, it's not.
It's like sexy idea.
I think that, like, if we took away the stigma, it would help a lot more with, like, men owning a lot of their shit if they didn't have to worry about being perceived as gay.
Yeah. No, I mean, like,
and
also...
And, like, don't give a fuck if someone perceives you as gay. It's fine.
It's scary to think about how many people have had those attractions or urges their entire life and, like, are just like, no, I'm not that. Like, it's like, no, maybe you are. Like, maybe you really are.
That was me, like, 5 years ago.
And
hey, welcome home, baby.
There was someone I talked to recently who said to me that I was dating a guy, we broke up, and she's like, because ultimately, she's like, he was gay. And I said, oh, he came out to you? And she was like, no, he'll never know in his life that he's gay. She's like, I really do think that this is what his thing is. It's like, this is his thing, but he has such an intense, it's not even homophobia in his mind. It's like, there's a mental block to it. Like, he has eliminated the possibility that that thing, so he never even thought about it. Whereas, like, I think that your average person at least wonders once, like, am I that? Like, I mean, before I was like, had any sort of sexual attraction to anyone, like when I was a kid and I knew what gay was, I was like, I wonder if I'll grow up to be that. And I think that's a normal thought, you know, like, or when you're, I mean, I don't know. Straight girls kind of abuse that, though, in a weird way. Like, I should be a lesbian. I wish I could just be a lesbian.
Yeah, guys suck. People, let's be lesbians.
People think that it's easier with women. It's just different.
No. Everyone's a douche. That's it. Doesn't matter.
Like, bottom line, like, everyone is super messy. Like, there is no right answer. And also, you don't hear guys say that, though. Like, I just wish I could, like, just fuck another guy. Like, if I could just fuck another guy, that would solve all my problems.
I kind of wish that would be an answer for them now.
Right.
Like, oh, my girlfriend's getting on my case.
Yeah, and fuck them.
That last part is not the part it would make things, like, commonly said.
It would make things so easier if I could just be into fucking dudes.
Yeah. I mean, that is the undertone, right? Or no?
That is the undertone, but it's like saying that they would like to be inside of their bros is like somehow stripping their masculinity, and you cannot be a man that is not masculine. And I think that that's the actual source of it all, which is ridiculous.
And also, like, my friend... Actually, Troy said this on the podcast the other day. He's like, my straight friends, he's like, are so, like, they are so, like, they're gayer than I am. He's like, they've all watched each other jerk off. He's like, they've all, like, done this shit. And he's like, I've gone to them and said, like, for real, are you not gay? And they're like, no, I'm not. And he's like, it just blows my mind. Like, they're so much more sexual with other men than I am. And I'm like, totally, I knew a bunch of guys from Malibu that like totally circle jerked, and like one watched the other one fuck a prostitute in Vegas. And I was just like, come on. Like, you're a little bi. Like, there's something there, you know? Ponder it. I mean, maybe, can you just be a watcher?
Well, I mean, it goes back to, like, the Kinsey scale. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's on a spectrum, and some people are a little bit more solidly on one end of the spectrum or the other. But for the most part, most of us fall in between. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if we can just all as a society accept that aspect of sexuality, I mean, we would probably all have better sex lives.
Accept it, motherfuckers. True.
Yeah, everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay as hell.
Everyone's a little bit gay.
You're a little bit gay. If you're listening to this in your car, pull down your visor and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you're a little bit gay. All right. Do you want to take some questions? I really would love if people were doing that right now. I think someone might be.
Send us your voice notes.
That might be the first time anyone's ever said that to themselves, and we could have given them that moment. What a gift. What a gift we are.
I've definitely had that moment to myself in the car.
Probably.
From a lot of it. Sobbing.
Very Brokeback Mountain of you. Well, let's take our calls. Pretty please.
I have someone's preserved shirt in my closet.
You do? Oh my God. I was like,
that's how the movie ends.
Oh, is that what? I've never seen it. I just know that they spend a lot of time crying about their feelings for each other.
And like wrestle intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's like really weird. Like,
That's what happens when you cast two straight men to play gay.
I mean,
well, questionably.
Heath Ledger like pummeled him, like in the kissing scene. I watched that I Am Heath Ledger thing, which is a really good documentary, by the way, if you guys haven't seen it. It's excellent. But he, like, it was so, first of all, they talked a lot about how brave it was for him to take that role, because at that time, like, it was not, like, it's still not common for a straight actor to play gay. Like, I would say Eric Stone Street is an example of someone who's, like, there's very few people you can point to that are comfortable with it.
I feel like for prestige Oscar roles, it's almost always a straight actor playing a gay part.
Oh, well, that's the Charlize Theron, like, getting fat version of a guy. Like, it's like, oh, you kissed another guy? Like, you went there?
Women aren't winning awards for playing lesbians.
No, women are not winning awards for playing lesbians. If you got fat as a woman, which is the worst thing...
Except Charlize Theron.
Whoa, actually, if you get fat or ugly as a woman, that is probably, like, considered the biggest sacrifice that you can make as an actress. And for a guy, it's like, oh, you kissed another guy? Like, that's your biggest sacrifice. That is crazy, you guys.
Wow, thanks, society.
Let's get guys fat. That's my Oscar so fat. That's my hashtag Oscar so skinny next year. All right, you guys, let's take some calls.
This is a question for Sam. Is your name Optimus Prime?
It's not really an advice question, but
clearly my name is not Optimus Prime. It's Sam. You said it already, but thank you. Shout out to Joe White, idiot.
Oh, is that who that is? He has a good voice.
Yeah, he actually does do an Optimus Prime pretty well. Yeah.
Proud of him.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
That was wild. Really happy to have a different voice on the show. We talk about wanting to have different voices on all the time.
I know.
And that
we have,
was...
like, serious Android underrepresentation, robot underrepresentation on this podcast.
No, not
I'm
enough.
Glad that someone, like, tried to make up for that.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I could bring that to the podcast.
As opposed to the, hey, Malls, I'm really drunk. Like, that's basically the beginning of every call.
I love those, though.
It's, hey, Malls.
I have the microphone, like, in their mouth kind of a little bit. So like,
those are my favorite. And the worst
hey,
is when
Malls.
And they're like, sorry, I called last week when I was really drunk, so I'm, like, re-recording this. And I'm like, first of all, I don't listen to these, so you don't have to reveal that. Like, as far as I'm concerned, that's between you and Christina. Only Christina has your secret. And she will keep your secrets. But, and also, like, you'd be like, why would I tell you that? But I love it when you guys call drunk. Just call drunk. It's so fun. And also, I think you're, like, all more raw when you're drunk. Like, I'm hearing more truths.
Yeah. And we'll make snack suggestions if you want. That's kind of cool.
That was one of my favorites of all time, when a guy was drunk at 7-Eleven and asked me what to get. I was like, you're hearing this 2 weeks later. But
I love that.
Okay, here's the next one.
Hey, Molly. Hey, Sammy. This is Matt Fried here. I guess my first question is, what is your favorite kind of chewing gum? Second question is, if there is one, if all the chewing gums got involved in a civil war, which brand do you think would win? Is that brand your favorite brand? I guess that's a lot to ask. Okay. Anyway, bye.
I feel like I'm just, you know, when that like trope of like being embarrassed that your parents dropped you off at school and they just like yell and be like, goodbye, sweetie. This is like how I'm feeling after these two calls.
I loved that. First of all, Christina said this was a silly question. I think this is actually a very deep question. And a very good question.
Sure.
Because my winner is different than my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you, Christina, what's your favorite gum?
I'm actually more of a mint person than a gum person. So I'm just going to
like a hard mint.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying like mint versus fruit.
No, just like a mint, like a hard mint.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to go pick one, I guess what's the one that comes in like the aluminum foil?
Oh, there's a lot. There's Trident White. There's Dentine Ice. There's
maybe a Dentine Ice. I can't remember. Okay. There used to be a brand that I bought.
Yeah,
maybe it's Dentine Ice.
The black Dentine Ice has this like kick to it that's almost like there's pepper in it or something. Like it tastes like original Pepsi. You know what I mean? Like it has that like extra thing to it. I'm like, is there pepper or something in this? Okay, what's your favorite gum?
Probably one of the flavors of the five gum.
Oh, maybe I like those two, yeah.
Yeah.
The five.
Yeah. Five is long. Bullshit. What
How
are you talking
you?
About? Literally five? That's the country crock of gums. Okay, that is some bullshit. Okay. Wow.
I thought I
knew you guys.
Juicy fruit is the like country.
Oh, I actually don't mind a juicy fruit once in a while.
Oh, you don't mind one? I think it's the country crock of gum.
It's actually colored like country crock.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I will say, is that my favorite is a sugar-free Bubblicious.
Just come
original, on. Original bubble gum is my favorite.
You're an adult.
Yeah, I know I'm an adult. But what I hate is like the fruity gums that are like the mashups. Like if I get into an Uber and like you only have fruity gums, like strawberry lime shit or whatever, I'm like, this isn't what gum is for. Gum is to like fix your breath and give you something to do. Like I don't need to have kiwi mandarin breath at the club right now. Like this is not attractive to men. It's not attractive to anyone. Maybe a child, but that's not really who I'm trying to get with right now.
I like rejected a coworker's gum once, and now every time I ask for something, she's just like, well, you didn't like my gum. And I'm like, because I wanted a minty gum. I don't want your juicy like fruity gum. That's not gonna accomplish the thing. And also, don't take it so personally when I reject your gum.
Don't take things less personally, people. But I do. It's a palate thing. Come on.
Yeah.
But I that will bring me to like a four. That's like a 4.5 star rating for me. Like I really do. Sometimes if I'm displeased and then on top of it, they have gum, but no minty gum. Forget it. If they have, I would rather have no gum. I'm like, I would rather you have not thought of me at all. But then I do think the winner of all gums would be peppermint, original peppermint Trident.
Oh.
Not the chiclet kind, the kind in the pack.
Would the Trident have Trident? Have a Trident?
I mean,
in the battlefield.
There is an irony to that. Yes, I will agree. But it's gum. It doesn't have arms. So,
well, we're fighting like the hypothetical civil war of gums.
Also,
you're injecting like we stop at arms when it comes to this. Like, well, arms is too far to imagine.
Also, there are like chewed or like sticks in our war that we're.
Oh, I was picturing a fresh pack.
Yeah. Oh, I was.
Yeah,
like,
I just I imagine like little wrapped things marching down together, like in the Dothraki. And now I'm getting into Game of Thrones.
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna actually take this back a minute. I made a mistake. I would say it's a tie between two of the classics. I think that being able to stick around for a long time, longevity, there's a lot to say for that. You've survived a lot. There are gums that have come and gone. I would say Double Mint or Big Red.
Yeah, Big Red.
Has a lot to offer.
That's what I was thinking.
I have a controversial pick.
What?
Big League Chew.
Oh, no, that's fucking dope. I love Big League. But you told me a child for liking.
I don't like.
You like fake chewing tobacco gum?
I don't like like to eat Big League Chew anymore. But if it came to a civil war of gums, I think that Big League Chew has the toughness and assertiveness to be able to survive battle.
Big League Chew is like the America of
shredded, bubblegum. It's shredded gum in a soft pack. Like, it has nothing. That is like sending in Jared from Subway at peak weight into fight for your team. Like, no, you can't do Chew that.
They're like barbarians, I think. They'd be like barbarians.
You think so?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of the baseball player on the front with the bat?
Exactly.
And that's who you're giving all the credit to. Wow.
That's what I think Big League Chew is personified.
Yeah. It's like a tough guy gum.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Sammy, who do you think would win? Don't say five.
No. Big Red, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You're a Big Red girl. It's Burns. It's good. It's classic. It's stood the test of time.
You can do that stupid, like, lick the wrapper and put it on your forehead shit.
Oh, yeah. There's some fun. Man. And, like, they all come with the silver thing that you can make those little chains out of. Yeah, it just is, like, it's just a good, I know few gums that are more multi-use.
The theme song is about kissing. Like, make it last a little longer. Also, like, why don't we have jingles anymore?
I don't know, but I remember my entire fifth grade class, like, someone started humming it, and then someone else started humming it, and then the entire class broke out and sang the entire Big Red song, and my teacher was just standing there, like, like, she didn't know what to do. Like, all of a sudden, not only were, like, we a bunch of fifth grade kids that at any other minute are probably, like, calling each other slurs and, like, just, like, being terrible and, like, just terrible humans because you're in fifth grade. Not only were we having fun, but we were harmonizing and singing a gum jingle together. Moment. I truly think that she, to this day, did not know what to – I would have loved to have been an adult in that situation. Like, just what is going on? How wild is that? There's some jingles for, like, mattress things.
It's just that Big Red freshness lasts right through it. You know, your fresh breath goes on and on. Even while you chew it.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I miss that song.
I miss jingles.
Yeah.
You kind of shook me a little bit, Christina.
I'm like, sorry. Oh,
wait, there's jingles.
Jingles and, like, TV theme songs aren't as necessarily as popular as they were.
No, they just, no, dude.
Just, like, no lyrics. Like, da 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 da. I'm just like, fuck off.
No lyrics. Yeah, and then, like, if there are lyrics, it's like it's a radio hit. It's never like, oh, like, we wrote this song about this family having to come together and, like, what you do when you make it work.
Oh, yeah, you used to, like, get the story of the family, like, at the beginning. You're like, oh, cool, I don't know what the show is. I just got caught up.
Which, by the way, is a very smart way to stuff in exposition every week. Yeah. Like, if you could just put it in the theme song and then you don't have to do the whole, like, so, is Dad still on vacation with Uncle Joe? Like, it's just like, what? It's like, no, it's like, Dad took a vacation with Uncle Joe. And it's like, oh, great. Now I'm caught up. I know where I am. I can go right in the episode. Like, we're making Whoopie Pie's first scene. I don't need any more information.
Yeah. Someone slips on a pie.
Yeah, I love that.
What would your theme song for today be? Question for the room.
Maybe the Big Red song. I don't know.
Getting ready for Palm Springs. Wait, are we writing a theme song?
Are we having, like, original music? Picking, or are we picking something that exists?
That's up to you guys.
Bernie and Phil's Quality, Comfort, and Price. That's nice. I mean, that's just a Boston classic. Like, I'll never forget it. Like, growing up to the Bernie and Phil's theme song.
I don't know what that is.
You wouldn't. It's a local Massachusetts chain.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, that's always, like, when I think of, like, what's in your head forever? Bernie and Phil's. Quality, Comfort, and Price. That's nice. 1-800-MATTRESS is up there, too. Dial a mattress, like that one.
What's the rug one? You know what I'm talking about?
Rugs?
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Pretty rugs.
Like, the phone number is a jingle.
Oh, I don't know.
1-800-RUGS. Feet.
Do you know what? Okay, what's your theme song? Most memorable, burned in your brain.
Oh, probably. Well, I was just singing the Fuller House theme song because I'm running through season two again.
Oh, yeah. So Carly Rae Jepsen sang it.
Yeah.
Dude, Fuller House is, like, okay. Yeah. It's just okay.
Yeah, but, which is exactly what you'd expect.
Exactly. It's watchable.
Empire. Call 800.
Oh, yeah. Empire. Well, cleaner makes your rugs cleaner. Is that what it is? Steamer makes your rugs cleaner. No, yeah. Stanley Steamer makes. That's what I'm thinking.
That's a different one.
Yeah, that's a different one. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
This is an interesting
deep dives, guys.
There's some people at home really appreciating this, I will tell you that.
Like five people who are still listening to the podcast.
I know. They're like, are they just going to sing jingles for an hour?
Call and leave a voicemail of your favorite jingle.
Okay, let's talk to a troubled person now that Sammy's friends are gone.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
No, really, thank you.
Hi. I would like to remain anonymous, but I wanted to present my dilemma to you and Sammy. I love being mean. It makes me feel good about myself when I do it. And I was bullied, and now I'm a bully. And I try to make it a joke, but I actually mean it sometimes, and it gives me a kick. And I'm very hypocritical because if someone does it to me, it hurts my feelings a lot. I just like really would love to change that, but I would love to know if being mean feels good to everyone or if it's just me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I feel like I know that voice. I can't put my finger on it, but I will say that that voice does sound familiar. I'll tell you what. I was also bullied. I also worked for, like, when I was working for Gawker, like, snark was your currency. Like, how good could you snark? Like, how good could you cleverly make fun of someone? How well could you observe someone's faults? And that is, you know, especially in the world of creative people, podcasting, comedy, whatever it may be, that is also a currency. And also people are terribly jealous of one another in that world. And so you do have to realize, I think, that ultimately, at least a part of it, for unless you're just picking on a person who's so lame that like there's no way you could possibly be jealous of them, which at that point, that's when you got to kind of look at the man in the mirror. Even if you're not saying it to their face, like you do. Okay, for me, I know that there was a big switch over when I realized that, one, I truly do believe, I went back to believing there was, in fact, enough room for everybody. And then I also had enough people be mean and judgmental of me that I was just like, I don't want to be that person to anyone else. I don't want to ever make anyone feel as bad as that has made me feel. And like, and it almost was like this like circle of life lesson, because I was bullied my entire life for being a weirdo growing up, like being a girl who made jokes. That was weird where I was from. So it just was like, you know, I still, you know, like Christina and I, or like Ed and I, like we can really, like when we're alone, we can really like cut a person down. Like when it's like, why is they so annoying? Why are they so fucking annoying? Like, why does that bother me so much? And then like Christina will just say something and I'm like, that is an accurate observation. And it's also would probably make them kill themselves. Like if they heard that, like they would just be like,
that's why I have to like leave a room when I get mad at someone. Cause I'm like, I will destroy you. Please leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ed is also, can be so petty that it's like the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like sometimes Ed can just be so fucking petty that I'm like, you seriously made time in your day to think that? Like, I can't believe.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is truth. It's not meanness. It's just the true observation.
No, it's just a dead ass truth.
Yeah. I feel so horrible being mean that I can't relate to this question. Not that I'm a saint, but it's just like I'm cognizant of the energy that I'm putting out into the world.
Yeah.
And having been on the receiving end of a lot of hatred for a lot of different reasons, I just don't want to put that out there.
And you can think mean things or say them to your one or two friends, but yeah. I will tell you this, and Sammy, I'll let you talk, sorry. No one wants to work with or be friends with, ultimately, the person that's shit-talking in a room, because the older you get, the more you realize that you are not exempt from that behavior. And I found out, like, before, yeah, like, so-and-so's shit-talking me, and I'm just like, great. That's good, because that's such karmic damage for them. That's the worst thing I could wish upon them, is that they are spending their time talking about me.
Yep.
And I think that it's also kind of like,
because they can't turn inward.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Or it's like, oh, it's you so clearly hate yourself that you can only express that outwardly towards someone.
Or maybe you don't even hate yourself. Maybe you just haven't learned the importance of forgiveness, or maybe you've never, you know, I always think a reframe is the best thing you can do when you're fucking pissed at someone. Maybe they're not a bad person. Maybe they're not delusional. Maybe they're not an asshole. Maybe they just live their life differently than you. Maybe the lens that they view life through is different than yours. And that's not a bad thing. So I just think that it's very important to keep that in mind too, is that if you have a reputation as a shit talker, that's going to catch up to you and you're going to have to undo that. And I say that as someone who has definitely talked shit in my day. So I'm not saying that as a person who's like, I'm perfectly clean. Like, I've done terrible things in my life. I've said terrible things about people. Sammy, what do you think?
I have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
That I was actually a bully in my younger days. And it wasn't good. It didn't feel good. And it was mostly just, you know, me not processing.
In what way?
Oh, I was like, there was this one kid that I was just like the classic bully to. Not to like an extreme extent, but like it was kind of physical. It was just weird. I was like lashing out at him because I was just trying to deal with stuff at my home. So it was like weird, and I know that now, but it's not, I don't know.
Are you friends on Facebook with this person?
No, I forgot his name. I don't know what his name is anymore.
That's hilarious.
I feel awful now that I think about it. And also, just don't dish out what you can't take. Like,
yeah,
I think
that I used to, because I felt like a nerd, I would sometimes bully other nerds, but I would only be a bully to the ones that I felt viewed themselves as intellectually superior to me.
Sure.
And I was like, we're all nerds. Like, I'm just smart in a different way. Like, I'm a lot funnier than you, and you don't have a lot of friends. And like, that was like definitely like, you know, it is sad when like the bully is the person that is the insecure person in the scenario. That's sure, the yeah. truth. You know, hurt people. And that's just really what it is. And like, a lot of times you realize like it is something that's going on at home. Like, all the bullies in my school, when I look back on it, were from either a very wealthy family or from a family that was skating more on the poor side, and they internalized that a lot. Or they were dealing with parents who had just shit going on, like addiction issues or whatever. And like, you would see people get mean. Like, I remember one girl getting very mean our senior year. And I was always like, she was always like a down girl. Like, what is wrong with her? And we found out basically like her mom was binge drinking herself to sleep every night. And this girl would be like up with her mom puking at like 4 a.m. So she was always coming into school fucking exhausted. And like, it was just taking her life away from her. And like, that is when I think a person comes to school and they lash out. It's because it's their only opportunity to just like vomit out all that shit that they have to be brave and keep a face on for at home. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know, girl, but like, definitely know that what you're doing is not sustainable for a long period of time without creating some bad karma. And I mean, I think you know that though, right?
It sounded like it.
Yeah. I mean, she feels bad about it, but she can't help it. Yeah. Just, I would say target it, you know, like everyone has, even like, I'm sure, I mean, I don't think Gandhi shit talked, but like, I mean, I think everyone, let's think about Barack Obama has made a snarky comment in his life, I'm sure. And he's a great guy. So, you know, but he says it to one of his friends from college, maybe, or Michelle, and he doesn't go wide with it. He yeah. keeps it classy. Be presidential. I would say that. Maybe work on that in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we take another call? All right, cool. Does anyone else have anything to say?
Cool. No.
Hey, Molls and Christina. My name is Johanna. I've been a listener for a while, and really enjoy you both and all your guests and everything. So anyway, I have just a dilemma. My little sister, she's like 16 years younger than I am. I'm like 43. She's 25 or 26 or something. But anyway, she's planned this dream wedding in Maui, and I, like, said I would go and actually bought the dress. I have the dress right now, but I'm going to return it because things are, like, I really didn't want to go for, like, a while, and I, like, tried to get out of it a couple times, but she's, like, really, like, pressured because this is her fantasy thing and whatever, and I feel bad because, like, our mom hasn't been the greatest, so I think it's, like, this whole thing she's built up, this dream, you know, scenario, so... Anyway, now I really, like, I'm not sure if I should tell her it's financial or if it's, you know, my job or, you know, honestly, I don't know. I don't want to break her heart, and I don't want to, like, just say I don't want to go, but it's just not a good time for me, and it's her dream, so how do you crush someone's dream like that? I just want to, like... let her know in the best way that it's not a good time for me right now. You know, all right, thanks. Bye.
I don't know. It sounds fucking stupid to me because I think weddings are a waste of money and for people that don't have exciting lives. But I mean, ultimately, I think the thing is that, you know, I think the time honored thing here is to just do what the bride wants and let her and help that person. If you care about the bride, do what she wants and help her be happy on her big day. Yeah, like,
you're not going to have a bad time in Maui.
I mean, it's highly unlikely unless it's going to, like, drain you financially, emotionally, some other way or whatever. Like, fucking go.
It seems like there was something else going on with her that she, like, couldn't tell her sister about, or, like, it just seems like she really cannot go.
Like, why is she not returning? Why is she, like, returning the dress? Like, it just is, like, so, it's so it just seems very extra to me. Like, buying a bridesmaid's dress is one of the, to me, in my mind, one of the most intentional things you can do. Like, I'm about to spend a bunch of money on something I don't like that much. Maybe you like it. Probably will never wear it again. You didn't pick it. Yeah, who knows if it's flattering on you? I mean, assuming the bride did you those favors, you still probably don't want that dress. And so, or wouldn't have gotten it without her. And so, to buy a bridesmaid's dress and then return it just feels, again, yeah, Christina's right. I mean, you're both right. Like, there's either something that you're not saying that needs to be said, or there's something fucked up with the situation. I mean, I just don't think we're getting the full scope here,
because it's like, if you really love someone and they're your family,
yeah,
you should be able to be honest with them at that level. So there has to be some sort of disconnect there, or something that you're not ready to address with her, or I don't know.
If you love someone and they're your family, you need to check your shit at the fucking door and go to their wedding. Like, that, I mean, a wedding is just one of those things that, to a lot of people, and I'm not a person like that, but being invited to a wedding, ugh. Being invited to a wedding is and by the way, like, I do have to say, I've been to beautiful weddings.
You're literally over any hypothetical wedding that you are going to be invited to.
That's the thing, is that here's the thing. I actually do love going to weddings, and I think it's beautiful and it's fun. What I don't like is the bride's attitude a lot of times. I think that, or even the groom's attitude. Like, there's groomzillas too. And, like, I just find it to be, I find it to be a lot of to do. And, like, I find that I've seen, you know, so many people, you know, from back home and stuff like that or whatever, just, like, struggle to afford their dream wedding. And it's like, well, why don't you just go start the rest of your lives together with that money? Like, $100,000, $50,000 in a day, like, is it worth it? And, like, there is this thing called, like, bride depression or whatever, which is, like, Jackie had that after her wedding, which was, like, one of the best days. It was so much fun. It was a beautiful wedding. But, like, after her wedding, she's like, that was it. She's like, I'm depressed. She's like, I'm never going to look better than I looked that day. I will never have a more special day. She's like, that was the most special day of my life. And it's over. And she's like, it's very common. She's like, for months now, I've been, like, consumed with planning this thing. And now it's gone. So, yeah. I don't know. But I do think that weddings are the symbol behind having guests at your wedding to begin with is that the people who are with you are supposed to be a part of your marriage. Like, they are there to look over your marriage, to help you get through hard times together. It's why, like, those big weddings mean so little, and those, because it's like, oh, like, literally, like, everyone from your hairdresser to your agent to your cousins is, like, part of your community. Like, hard to believe. But if it's, like, an intimate destination wedding, like, she has chosen those people carefully, and you've been asked to be a part of this because she, you know, she wants her big sister there. You know, I don't know what you're not telling us. I'm weirded out. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little weirded out.
Yeah, it seems like we're missing some information. But, like, I mean, she...
Don't
she
lie
mentioned,
to me.
She mentioned the age gap, which maybe could have resulted in her little sister looking up to Giovanna as a mother figure.
Yeah.
She mentioned, and it's just like,
it sounds
go.
Like their mom is messy, too.
Yeah, so it's just stop the cycle. Just
is
go.
The mom going to be at the wedding, I wonder?
It sounded like no.
Yeah, it sounded like the mom was like a douche. You can't get mama her shit douche. Together. Mama douche. Can't
your
get
mom
her...
is such a douche.
Dude, your mom is fucking
your mom
douche.
Is such a douche.
I don't think it's ever been said about a mom, ever.
My mom taught me that word.
Douche?
Yeah.
For, like...
You're like just talking about someone too.
In
like
that way item. Or like the actual...
No, my mom was just like, oh, he's just a fucking bag of douche, Malls. And I was just like, what's a bag of douche? And my mom was like, oh, it's like a thing that women used to clean their vaginas out with. And I was like, ew.
But also, isn't it negative to like associate the vagina as disgusting?
And, like, I think it's more calling the liquid disgusting.
Like, we don't call like people schmegma.
The heck is
we should. Oh, you don't dick cheese. I think I would call someone dick cheese. But I mean, the thing to me that's gross about douche is that you feel like you need to vacuum floral water up your snatch. Like, that is so.
I've never douched, so I don't know.
I mean, no. Like, the I haven't douche. Either. I don't even know.
That
like
a morning show.
Yeah,
it was
like,
on Parks and Rec. Sorry.
The douche. Yeah, well, like, that's right. There also are people that like. You know that girl that, like, has Summer Eve in her shower and you're just, like,
you're too young for
legit?
This.
Like, you have this shit out? Like, what are you doing? Like,
did
that
you grow
is,
up
like,
in the 70s?
Like, literally, that gets hidden with, like, whatever you wax yourself with. And, like, that is, like, a private beauty utensil. You know, you don't leave that out like it's a bottle of shampoo. I don't know.
You use Summer's Eve?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying you know that girl. Like, what do you think? I have a desire to get yeast infections for the rest of my life? Because that's what that is. That's like, oh, you know what? I haven't gotten enough UTIs lately. I'm just going to try and expedite the process and shove a bunch of chemicals up my badge. But, you know, I do, you know, there's things like, you know, there's a fine line. Anyway, let's take another call. But also, can you call us back and tell us what you're not telling us? Because that seems to be pretty important, and I don't really understand the point of this call.
Yeah, what's
323-450-7408. What's your secret, girl? Yeah.
Hi, Ralph, Christina, and guests. My name is Kate. I definitely want to make this concise. I'm a little wordy, and I feel like there's a lot of backstory that goes into the question. Definitely talking to a counselor about a lot of this stuff, though. But I guess my main question right now is, how do you deal with a really big transitional period in your life? I lived in Los Angeles for a little over 6 years, and it's been a bit fraught. I came out here on a whim after living in New York City for a while and kind of just partying and spending money. Came out here for an internship and never left. And I'm definitely, I've been on and off with a gentleman for about 5 years and living with him, and we're ready to move on. But it's not just that. It's I've just been having just issues kind of connecting with people out here, and while I'm, you know, grateful for the people I have, I'm having to leave my job in September. I'm the nanny, and she's going to pre-K, so I'm probably going to have to go back to my field that I haven't been in quite some time. I worked in this field in New York. I have a master's degree in it, but out here, it seems like you have to be 21 with a million Instagram followers to get any money out there with it. And I also want to be a writer, so I'm kind of looking into being a writer's assistant or going back to being a public relations associate, something like that. And I also found out that the ex-boyfriend has a new girlfriend. I need to move out in September when my job ends, and I don't have enough money to live on my own right now, and I've had death threats with roommates. I'm talking, having to give restraining orders against them and getting death threats, so I've been nervous about that. So I guess when you feel like everything's been solved and you don't really have a core group to latch on to and you're on your own, you don't have money from your family, and you're kind of stuck in L.A. for better or worse, you can't go anywhere else, how do you deal with it? I need to figure out how I can get a extremely high-paying job and live on my own, or I have to try to find roommates that will try to kill me. And I don't say that facetiously. I'm saying that truly. So I guess, yeah, my main question would be about transitions and how to kind of deal with, I have a couple months, so how would you kind of do a pro and con list? Like, you know, I meditate, I do yoga, and I try to meet people and not, you know, obviously bombard them with my issues when I first meet them, which I used to do. I don't do it anymore. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
I would suggest that you grow up. That is basically my number one note off the top. And that comes specifically and really only from the comment of you have to find roommates that are somehow find roommates that are not going to kill you. No one is entitled to live in Los Angeles. If you are stuck here, you are stuck here. But it is, this is a city of fucking making it work. It's miserable. It is a miserable city to live in, which is exactly why I always tell anyone, if you just want some sunshine, go to San Diego. Like, do not, why would you put this kind of pressure on yourself? If you want to be here, that's important. Do you need to get a high paying job? Fuck no. Do you maybe need to get 4 medium paying jobs? Probably. That's more realistic. Like, can you find a roommate? Yeah, guess what? Everyone in the city struggles. You can find a roommate. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this because sometimes people come back to me and they're like, actually, I have a rare medical condition that I have to live alone. And so to get roommates for me is a lot more different than every other person because I struggle. And it's just like, no, it's like, I'm not going to get that letter from you now. So if you didn't disclose your medical condition, that means you have to live alone. That's your problem.
She did kind of imply that, like, she's had roommates before that she had to get.
Sounds like she is bad at dealing with people and she needs to grow up. That is part of life, is learning how to work with people. And if you cannot afford your house, and you need to, and the move is to learn how to work with people, then I would suggest learn how to work with people because you chose to come here to begin with. And that's why I, again, like, you know, it's unfortunate, but I struggled so much. There would be days that I just fucking, like, I just hit a wall. Like, when I first moved to LA, like, I would just pull over in Rite Aid parking lots and cry for, like, sometimes 2 hours and just, like, really fucking exhaust myself because I was so nervous and so worked up about, you know, what if nothing happens for me? And I still, like, worry about that shit every fucking day. Like, what if I have seen the best thing I have ever seen? What if I never do anything again in my life? What if I have to move to Austin and be a waitress? What if? And, like, not like that's a bad thing. I actually think I would love that life. But I love counting tips. I love all of it. But I do think that there is something here that's coming across, and I hate to say it, as entitlement to me. And I take real issue with entitlement. And to me, that's the thing that kills me more than anything, is I've been called entitled. And it's like, I honestly, I'm not going to say I've worked harder for everything I have than any other. That is not even close to true. But I know that I've worked for everything I have. And, like, I certainly was not a person who got handouts. And, like, you know, I'm an opportunity finder at most, but I am not entitled to anything. Like, if anything, I know what kind of life I want to live and I strive for that, but you have to work for that. And if you want to live alone, if you want to learn how to not, if you want to later in your life, not have to deal with other people, which, by the way, ultimately is the dream. Like, I love that I don't have a boyfriend or a husband or a roommate that I have to negotiate things with. I love that about my life. That's fucking dope that I get to make my choices. But that is also something that at certain times in my life I haven't had the luxury of. And also something at certain times in my life I've had to learn, like, okay, this is, yeah, like, this sucks right now. Like, you know, living with Sarah was so great because she was one of my really good friends. If things were off, though, in the apartment, it was also the fucking worst because she was one of my really good friends. And it's like the worst because it's like it's not like some random person that it's like. It's not some random person that it's like, okay, well, you know, that sucks to have tension in your living space, but it's like also a person you care the most about. What I would recommend to you is, first of all, realize that no one's going to kill you. No one wants to kill you. What do you get out of that? Do you know, it's very difficult to murder someone and get away with it. It's very expensive. If you do murder someone, it's a lot of planning. You usually have to have a lot of drive behind doing that. There has to be some sort of, you know, failed romantic relationship or some betrayal. There needs to be a motivation. There needs to be a hit taken out on you. There needs to be something that you have done in order to deserve to be murdered, which is why I always tell people, stop fearing murder so much. You might get murdered, maybe, but it's not like, it's not even, I mean, people act like it's an STI or something. Like, they act like just any slip up, you could just get murdered. And it's like, not really. Like, what have you done to piss someone off that much that you think someone, like, it's narcissistic, actually, to think that someone's going to murder you. I do think that. I think a fear of murder is slightly narcissistic. Anyway, just fucking get some roommates and stop complaining. And, like, and I say this from a place of tough love because, like, if I ever spoke like this, and I'm sure there were times that I did, I feel like someone shook me fucking loose from that real quick. And we're, you know, I had a lot of friends. I surrounded myself with people that were more successful than me. And that was a great thing for me because it gave me something to look at that was a thing to strive for. And you are in between stages of your life right now. And I think that this is a good opportunity. Like, let's not look at the negative side of it. Let's look at the opportunity that you have. You're not making great money. You can't afford your place. What about, like, living with a couple of artists that fucking inspire you? What about going and applying for an internship that you probably can't even afford to take it, but then you work at Coffee Bean and you do other shit and you're surrounding yourself with the types of people that you want to be? And one of the most best pieces of advice we were ever given on this podcast, and I can't remember exactly who it was. Let me know if you do. Someone said, people often come when they want something, they often come from a place of what can I get from you as opposed to how can I help you? And like, that is the big difference. It's like, is it because like, and it's, but it's very important. It's, yeah. If you want to impress someone or get in someone's good graces or like let them know that like you really are sincere and want to do the hard work and make it, you fucking offer up your services and you say like, yeah, I'm going to do this and this and this and I'm going to do this online job and I'm going to work in a call center. I mean, look outside of the box too. A lot of people think like, I'm dead serious. I really think that you should get an internship and work at a call center or something that has like a steady check, that has health insurance. If you have a college education or whatever, you are capable of getting that job. It's not difficult. You can work at Verizon. Like, you can do that. And you can take UCB classes at night or and do an internship. You can do that. And you're young, so you have the energy for that. And I'm sorry you don't have friends right now, but maybe that's why you need to learn how to work better with people. Like, in LA, your first 5 years here are just cycling through friend groups because you're like, okay, well, I took away from this friendship. Like, Chris, like, that's why Ed and Christina are so important to me. They're like the last men standing. Like, I, you know, I mean, like, obviously, we met through my friend Slippy, who's also your friend, and I still love Slippy. I rarely get to see him, but I love him very much. That said, like, and I obviously consider him a friend, but like, that said, like, there have been people that come and go. You're in a group. What you take away from that is maybe an introduction that happened, or maybe one friend in that group, or maybe you know, whatever, a work connection or something. And then you go into that work environment and you make a friend there. And like, it just is, just get ready for the cyclical nature of life, man. I mean, you're an adult now. So this is the part of being an adult that everyone warned you would suck. So like, let's not act like we didn't know it was coming. Sammy, I'm sorry. I'll let you talk
now. No, it's totally fine. I think in LA specifically, there's no lack of people in transitional periods.
And yeah, so, like, what does she think? She's special?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like what people do here. It's just like, go to a meetup, find your like quirkiest quirk and go to a meetup about it, and then find your people, find your community. You will find support there, and then you'll be fine.
Go to like Emotionally Broken Psychos is like great because we all have the same fucking personality. Like, we're all also like half of us are INFPs, which is the weirdest thing because we make up 4% of the population, but like 60% of our Facebook group. That is so weird. And that is, you know, that is something to be said for finding your people. I always say we were very spoiled in a sense because, one, I came out here having Ed. I also had a boyfriend that followed me out here, and he had a friend who lived in LA, and that girl Mary was my best friend for like the first like 2 years I lived here. Then I had a friend from college move out here. Then, you know, Ed introduced me to people. And then Tumblr came around, and I had Tumblr meetups, which were like a big thing. Like, that's how
Tumblr
you met Slippy.
My closer friends from LA I met off of Tumblr too, like right when I moved out here.
And it's wild. Yeah. Like, I haven't...
Right.
And it's you know, I think it's a Wild West on Tumblr now. I think that there's probably a different thing that is the same thing. And I really would say that. I can't.
Wasteland of nonsense.
I mean, because Twitter's already like that as it is. And Twitter used to be a thing that, I mean, you can make friends through Twitter, actually. And it's not weird to meet people from the internet. All of my friends are, quote, from the internet, I say. This is my friend from the internet. And what I would say, I think the new thing, I just like licked the microphone. What I would say the new thing that's like trending, I would guess, if I had to guess, it seems like, and I'm not just talking about my podcast, it seems like fans of podcasts in groups are like the new thing. Like, My Favorite Murder is a very active one. Bitch Sash had a very active one before something happened. I don't know that thing. But I think they're still all really active. Emotionally Broken Psycho is super active. Like, there's just, if for anything that you have an interest for, there's a group for that. And I'm sure that you have... and LA being the city that it is, being, you know, podcasts are a New York LA sort of thing. Like, they're slowly making their way through the rest of the country. So odds are, if you went into the group for your favorite podcast and said, hey, who lives in LA? You want to do a meetup? Like, we've done a Please Advise meetup. If you want, I'll do another Please Advise meetup and you can meet people.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since we've
And I'm
done
sorry
that.
I told you, like, look, I'm sorry. Like, if you come to the Please Advise meetup, I just want you to know I can't have you get drunk and give me a weird speech about how I gave you some tough love. You called the show, you know what you asked for. But I will, and this happened to be the day you caught me on. But I know some girl got fucking weird on me, and I was like, I bought you dinner I bought you like whatever.
What?
Everyone can die. I don't care. but we should do another Please Advise meetup, and you should come out to that. But also go after your more favorite niche podcast, and literally be the person who initiates it. Put up a post saying, "Hey, when are we gonna do a meetup?"
Yeah.
Do
put
it.
Put yourself out there, kid.
Yeah.
You got this.
But don't. Yeah. Whatever. You're so much more positive than me about this. I'm like, does she? Okay.
I'm swuffed.
But no, take my question of you and use that as fuel, because I really do think that that has been some of the best fuel I've had in my life, is people doubting me. Because I'm like, oh, really?
That's,
you think
that
you're smarter
actually,
than me?
That actually fuels me more than people being like, you're great.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm like, when people compliment me, I'm like, I don't need that. That doesn't, thank you, but that does nothing for me. Like,
it's
not constructive. I'm never going to believe you. It's not going to be good. But if you tell me I fucking suck, like, that will get my rocks off. Thank you. Like, literally the nicest thing that anyone has ever done for me was this year. Like, called me up. He said, I hate your script. I don't know why you wrote this. I don't know where you think it's going to sell. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand why you would do this. I really don't. I don't like it. I have to say, like, I had asked for feedback and I fucking loved it. I was like, I was smiling on the other side of the phone as he said this to me. And where another person would be like, oh, my feelings. I was like, thank you for being honest. Everyone else is just like, yeah, it's good. There's a typo on page 18. Like, I know that because I've been the person who's given those notes. Because what is the incentive to call up someone and be honest with them? It means that people are probably going to dislike you. But I didn't dislike this guy for it. I fucking loved him for it. And, like, there are people that can take that and there's people that can't. And I will say I'm a winner. So that's what it is.
Sammy? Oh. What?
It's okay if you don't have anything to say.
Oh,
it's
no. Cool. She said
stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, like, from
what I mean, always, if you have something constructive to say to somebody, just say it. Like,
yeah.
The Sarah Hot nonsense where it's like anonymous constructive criticism, bullshit. It's for cowards. You should just be able to tell your friend, like, hey, this is what's wrong with you.
But do you want to know what else got my rocks off about that? Because it's like, oh, it made you feel a way. Like you felt very strongly that this was a terrible script. And there are people that are on the other side of the spectrum from him that feel very strongly that it's a very good script. And that is fucking dope. Like, at least he felt something. I've read so many pilots and been like, okay, like, this person isn't three-dimensional. Like, there's not, like, I can't even imagine this being on TV, like, let alone.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw that out there, too, is, like, maybe find what fucking motivates you, girl. Like.
It seemed like she was a little bit aimless.
You need to find what motivates you and really look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself what you want to do. Really ask yourself, what if you sell all your shit? What if you sell your car? What if you get a bus ticket and you fucking take that shit to San Antonio and, like, whatever, Marfa, Texas? Like, I love Dick. That seems like they've got a great community going on down there. Take a bus to Marfa and then start all over again. Like, you'll figure it out. But that is, I mean, do you really, like, honestly, ask, do you think you're going to wind up homeless? Like, really ask yourself that. Like, are you going to, what is the worst case scenario? You die, you wind up homeless, like, you know, like. So what if no one talks to you? That actually can be kind of pleasant. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think what might be nice for you is to try and save up $10 a week that you can't touch and then buy a plane ticket and go to a European city and be poor in that European city and see that, like, one, it's okay to be poor in the world. Two, the world is a lot bigger than you. Three, Los Angeles is just a place. It's literally just a place. And I do everything I can to get out of here as frequently as possible to remind myself that I live in a world of, like, bullshit, basically. There's a lot of bullshit here. And not everyone is bullshit. There's also great things. But, like, to take LA so seriously, my God. It's so, I mean, I did in the past. And, like, when I look back on it, I'm just like, God, I put so much weight on like, this city and what this city could do for me. Like, ultimately, I like to be a regular person, too. I don't need to be special and a special LA person. Like, I don't need that. What is, like, in that? I don't know. I have to pack for Palm Springs soon. So let's take another call. And then, did you do your laundry? You're all packed, really? Christine and I are going to Palm Springs, you guys. If you haven't bought your tickets for Work It yet, if you are a female podcaster, maybe save your money, listener. And if you want to be a podcaster, save up your money and come to Work It, because there's going to be a lot of women there who are talking about podcasts. We're learning about podcasts. As we said before, this is a male-dominated industry, no doubt. Like, it's a dude-dominated thing. I'm going to change that single-handedly, I will say. But no, we have to, like, support each other. And so Christine and I were asked to do this thing called Work It, which you went to last year. It's WERKIT, and it's put on by WNYC, which is very cool that we were asked to do this, because we are not the biggest podcast on the block. And there is a wide range of people, but I would say that, like, look, it's a real honor to be included. Like,
I'm really excited about it.
We're kind of random.
Yeah, we are kind of random.
You know what I mean? Like, it was nice to be included. And I'm sure you being there last year had a great deal to do with it as well.
I think I met some people and they were like, you're kind of cool. Let me follow and see where you're going. So that was nice of them.
But
thank,
like,
you guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, we recognize that we're random. And we were asked to do what I think was like the coolest fucking panel that we could have been asked to do. I mean, I honestly was like, damn, you're right. I am good at that. And so if you want to come see what that is. Come see what it's all about. Work it in October. Christine and I are going away for the weekend to like, well, it's like for a Monday to
an off-site retreat.
Yeah. We got to go off-site to a place with 7 pools. They have 7 pools.
Our panel's happening on October 5th on the second stage. We're actually opening.
Yeah, we're opening.
What's the panel?
We were asked if we wanted to open or close. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we're not going to be mic dropping on the festival. And also people will be home by then because it's like Sunday. It's a whatever. Yeah, we're opening. What's our panel?
Yeah.
Basically, do you want to phrase it?
It's basically how we're work wives. It's how two friends and like what it's like to work with a friend and how that can be difficult to navigate sometimes.
I mean, you guys know I have worked with friends and you know, I mean, I think I have alluded to plenty that there have been situations where I have worked with friends and it's been a fucking disaster. And there's reasons for that. And there's also reasons why I work very well with Christina. And like, it hasn't been like 100% smooth sailing. At the same time, even our worst fight wasn't that bad.
It was not that bad.
No. I mean, like, but like, we care about each other enough that we would never let it get there. And also, yeah. Like, I don't think you and I have anything mean to really say to each other.
No.
So it's kind of just like, you're fucking pissing me off right now. And yeah. It's like, that's maybe it. It's just like, you're pissing me off. And everyone's going to, you know, you have to take that in stride. Some people cannot take that in stride. And like, yeah. That was a huge learning lesson for me. And the thing that I have done 100% differently and made sure that my partner isn't experiencing, because I have allowed to watch someone resent me before. And I've been like, if you don't have the fucking balls to say why you're mad at me, insert the name of a person I've worked with here before. You know, if you want to sit there and be fucking mad at me and sit in your ivory tower and like, and hold the world against me, you can do that because you have no sack and you can't tell me what you're mad at me about.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sorry. Like, that's another person that has to grow up. So there you go.
It requires a certain level of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, and also, like, real friendship. Real friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Real friend. I mean, like, you know, you can make it work with a superficial friend as well, but real, like, you know, real friends can be harder. They can also be a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. And also, it's not the stakes aren't insane here. Like, we were able to build this together, which is cool. Like, it wasn't like we started out, like,
yeah,
with a $500,000 budget, and, like, we had to turn it into, you know, this thing. Like, we built it.
Yeah, and it's also like you're a little bit more okay with asking someone to shoulder a little bit more because you're going through something and they know the honesty of what you're going through.
True life.
You know?
Yeah, like it was just no question. Like between everything we had going on last month, like that was just not a question between us. Like we're just like, we're taking the month off. You know, you had a bunch of shit. I had a bunch of shit. It was also just a nice break. I mean, and summer is like obviously a known slow time on the internet. I don't know that if there's any slow time anymore because of our country. You know, I mean, you don't have to put out 52 podcasts a year.
Yeah.
You know,
God bless the people that do, though.
No, I mean, honestly, that's why I'm always like, fucking people who don't appreciate YouTubers are so dumb. Like, to have to put out a video every single fucking day.
No, YouTubers are workhorses.
Yeah. I mean, that's some shit. Like, they're working. And, like, that's how you get skills, working.
Yeah. It's like that 10,000 hours thing. It's like you become an expert. If you keep doing it for a certain amount of hours, you just got to keep doing it to get better.
Don't knock yourself if you're not
instantly better, instantly good at something. You have to work to get there.
Yeah.
Life advice, guys.
Maybe start a YouTube to the girl who called. I'm very thankful that I had the defamer exercise of having to do a video every day. That was like the closest I ever had to that. And like, I will tell you, it's a fucking job, especially if you're also working a job, which a lot of these people do. So, you know, realize that also you're probably not working as hard as you could, too. That's also to the original caller. Like, are you working as hard as you could? Are you that exhausted? I mean, when I, in. you know, you're at this stage in your life. I mean, Stephen Ray Morris was over here yesterday and I was like, I don't think you sleep enough, dude. Like, he's like, no, I sleep. He's like, I get like 6-7 hours a night. I'm like, yeah, that's not enough sleep. Like, you're supposed to have 8. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to skate by. But when I was his age, I had the same mentality, which was like, it's okay that I'm struggling now. It's okay that I'm fucking exhausted. I would sometimes work 18-hour days. Yeah. Like, just like literally get 6 hours sleep, wake up and work again. And you know what? It was okay because, one, I totally loved it. And two, it was like the most exciting time. Find something that makes you excited. She needs some excitement.
Yeah. She needs – I feel like she needs to figure out who she is and what she wants to do with life.
You don't have to be rich to drive your ass out to the desert, set up a tent, and sleep there. Just fucking put yourself in the woods or something.
Wild.
Get a 6-pack of beer and a journal.
Hey, Malz, I have something that I want to read.
What?
We have a review.
Oh, we have
from the Apple Podcast Store.
Oh, from the Apple Podcast Store. That is
from
so,
Apple Podcasts.
I love Apple Podcasts. That's so cool. Guys, I want you to remember that I have put an offer on the table, which is that we get 500, if we get 500 reviews by December 31st of this year, assuming that the planet is still spinning, I will do something special for you. What it is, I do not know, but something special will be done.
Wow.
We're at 276 right now.
Which is not a lot.
No.
We're going to need some more, you guys. Please advise Nation, literally go into Apple Podcasts. Just type 5 words. That's fine. Five words. Fucking love it. Just write that. Fucking love it.
Or you can take a cue from Persnickety MI.
Nice transition.
And write a review like this. It's called Appreciate Ya.
Uh-huh.
Malz and Christina are my besties in my head. These intelligent, motivating, and savvy women dish out real advice for the everyday millennial. Please Advise Nation knows that their pod is like free therapy for an hour every week. That's it.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Persnickety.
Yeah, thank you. That was really tight. By the way, Appreciate Ya. I don't know if my Starbucks drive-thru guy listens to the podcast or not, but I literally was going through my Starbucks drive-thru, and it was like probably the week after like we had really talked about Appreciate Ya and like how I was just – we'd been really railing on it. And the guy gives me my coffee. He goes, Appreciate Ya. And I was like, what? I was like, is this just now a saying that's in the ether? Like people, is this trending again? Appreciate you? Or is that, I don't know.
But also,
does he appreciate me? Like, how could he possibly appreciate me that I come to Starbucks? Or does he listen to the pod? Is that Please Advise Nation in the house at my Starbies?
Have you met a fan in real life, like out in the wild?
Dude, do you want to know what's so crazy? After Wags got attacked last year, I left that. The first time I left the house, I brought him with me. And some girl walks right up to, I literally get out of the Uber and a girl walks up to me and she's like, hi, I listen to your podcast. How's Wags?
Oh my God.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah, no, I mean, I've met them in the wild many times, actually.
I met one person in the wild and then they were like, you're the Christina. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm like, you don't recognize my voice. And
you have met Please Advise heads in real life, but they don't
see.
They don't know you.
Yeah.
Because you stay off cam a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know.
No, that's your prep. But yeah. Like, I bet you do meet Please Advise fans. But yeah, no, it's like very like flattering and cool. Like sometimes I've been at a bar before and someone's been like, hey, I listen to your podcast. I just want to say like cool podcast. I'm like, I'm always stunned.
That's rad.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice. Like, it's very nice.
Maybe we should do a meetup just so I can experience what that's like.
Yeah. And so people
have a bar
can
full
memorize
of people telling
face.
Me that I'm great.
Yeah, you need that. Okay. Do we have any more calls?
We do, but I would like to wrap up.
Okay, we should wrap it up then. Sammy, thank you so much for being here. I feel like I railroaded you and talked the whole time. Oh my God, it's almost 5:00.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
Sammy, thank you for being here.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks
where
for
are all
having
the
me.
Place? Of course, girl. I feel like I talk to you all the time.
We do.
I mean, we do talk all the time, but I feel like I speak to your face. So, like, in my mind, like, we do this all the time, but like, I mean, how do I even really know what you look like? Like, I mean, I've met you once. Like, but I, in my mind, I know exactly who you are. Where are all the places people can find you?
Twitter, Instagram, SameeJunio. There may be an underscore in between my first and last name, but maybe not.
Look it up.
Yeah. I'm around.
And what about all of the pods you work on?
Oh, you can search Hello Lion Face, which is the network I soft launched, but I'm really regretting naming it. I'm cringing right now and closing my eyes, and nobody can, I feel like it went, whatever.
Why?
It's kind of like, yeah, Hello Lion Face.
Hello Giggles. You don't think that's a lot worse?
My Hello Lion Face has been equated to that name specifically, and then Hello Kitty, and I'm just like, both of those things are not what I'm trying to do here, guys.
My college sketch comedy group, which was started in 1982, was called Hello Shovelhead. So it's not a bad way to do it.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, just Google that. I think they will pop up. If not, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, losers. You guys, sorry. Thank you so much. Sorry. Christina, people can find you on the internet as well at Christina Lopez, right?
Yep, on Instagram and on Twitter, Christina with a K.
She got the handle, Lopez. Y'all. Yeah. I know. My phone always autocorrects you to C. And I'm like...
Someone in one of the voicemails I haven't played yet, someone called me Christine. And I was like,
whoa. I don't like that.
And they're like, I listen to the podcast every week. I love Malls and Christine. And I'm just like,
That also makes me feel embarrassed for them, though, because, like, have you ever called someone the wrong name for a long time?
No.
Oh. My mom called someone the wrong name for, like, over 15 years. And I watched her get corrected, and it was the darkest thing I've ever seen. And I also know my mom is a very proud woman, so that, like, was a real hit to the ego for Sean John.
Damn. But yeah, it's Christina with a K, Lopez with a Z on Twitter and Instagram, and then Snapchat, which I haven't done in a while. I need to revive that.
Yeah.
It's Hey K Lopez.
Yeah. Well, you guys, thanks so much for thanks so much for listening. That was episode 140 of Please Advise. We will be back very soon. Remember that you always have to call so we can make our show. We make our show with your phone calls, 323-450-7408.
Or your voice notes or emails.
Oh, yeah, voice notes or emails as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we like the calls the best.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.